Welcome to the Sunday Morning Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Adrian Moore.
The kingdom is gathering apace. I said to Paul last week, when the fruit of this evangelism, that is not just being done by this church, but the church in Scarborough, comes in, we're going to have far more than one baptism in the North Sea each year. I also said that if it's in December or January, I want a heated wetsuit rather than the wetsuit that I had. So, you know, but let's not stop getting in the North Sea when it's declaring our faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. So today, I'd really like to tell you a story. A story for those people who were baptized last week. A story for those who have been baptized for a while. A story for those who are yet to be baptized. A story for those who are yet to know Jesus Christ. You see, the weather last week was really nice to us. Last year, we were standing waist deep, but waves were coming over my head, which you'll see some of the photos there to say it. Last week it was supposed to rain, but it didn't. And the evangelism today, we've talked about God raining in our lives. We're just going to pray for dry weather, for this worship and evangelism that's going to be done. Each time we go out, real life, real witness, real worship on the streets of Scarborough. And what's in it for us? We who already know the way, the truth, and the life. Well, Christ sort of said, get out there and do it. And that's why we're joining in with his church to do it. You see, we can hide our light under a bushel. We can say, I'm saved. But what about people in here who aren't? What about the people out there? Wherever out there is. Whether it's in St. Nicholas Street, St. Thomas Street, Eastborough, or whether it's in Nepal, or Africa, or Australia, or America, or Syria. What about them? So how should those 11 people that got baptized last week, how should they live? How should we live? How should we demonstrate the life and the light that Christ has in us? Well, today's talk is to give an idea on that. Because we're taking that light out even into the North Sea. When Denise and I came up here, I said to Pastor Paul that I had visions of a huge army of Christians coming in into Scarborough. An armada coming in from the North Sea. Now, I've yet to see that armada, but I'm just wondering if Christ's interpretation that he has is for an armada of people that have been baptized in the North Sea coming in back into Scarborough and bringing his light from the North Sea and into this area and beyond. But what do we do? What do we say? Whatever our gifting, there are some in here who are out and out evangelists. I'm not one of them. But I can evangelize because I'm enabled to do so by the Holy Spirit. And everyone in here is. So, how to say, how to talk? Well, go and see Anne and Alan Fuster there, Anne with the blue scarf on, Anne Alan with the blue t-shirt, and Claire. Is the training happening again on Saturday, right? So all those people that are thinking, well, what do I do? What do I say? Come in at 10:30 next Saturday, normal time, and find out how to ask people, how's your day going? And then how to share the gospel. You see, Elke has come back from a holiday in Germany, seeing her mom. And she's brought the family back. But just before she went with Nigel, Joshua and Samuel, there were a few of us out in Peace Home Park on the Wednesday night, a couple of Wednesdays ago. And some of us were singing worship. And I was amazed that people actually hung around while we were singing God songs. They didn't sort of like, don't want to be with these weird people singing about Jesus and amazing grace. Whoa, no. But not only that, but young families came with pushchairs and they actually stayed and listened and talked and smiled. And there are three Hindu men and Nigel, who does amazing mission work, will also say that evangelism isn't his first forte gifting. But he went over and he shared the part of his story about how he came to Christian faith with these three Hindu. Okay, no lights went off. But who knows? God knows. And from that seed, he can sow into their lives and they can sow into others. If we don't share that, if we don't take that step across the room to ask someone, how's your day? How are you doing? Can I tell you something? Can I tell you a story? They'll never know. And there's an opportunity that God has put in front of us, a challenge that has gone. But God doesn't hold that against us. He just puts someone else in front of us another time. And the more people he puts in front of us, it gets a bit harder to get out the way, and because you end up walking 100 yards just to try and go 5 yards forward. So stories. Each of us have got a story. Max Bygraves used to say, let me tell you a story. There will be here people here that don't know who Max Bygraves is. Never heard him say it. So that just dates me, but a few of us will know it and identify with, let me tell you a story. But today, I'm not going to tell you one story. I'm going to tell you two. Two for the price of one. Now, I've chosen them because the chances are that everyone here will know really well at least one of these stories. And probably, if you've been a Christian for a while, or if you went to Sunday school, or you heard part of a scripture somewhere, you might be really familiar with the other one. So why am I telling you two really familiar stories? Well, when we hear a story that we know really well, what do we do? Do we switch off? Do we think, oh, I've heard that before. I'll wake up again at like 1:15 when we're looking out to see if it's raining or not. Or do we look forward with anticipation to this well-known story and think it might be one of Brian's hot chocolate splendors with whipped cream and marshmallows on and then chocolate sprinkles on top. So it's got all nice lot of sugar sprinkles and good memories and makes us happy when we hear a good story that we know really well. Or, and this is perhaps the rub, when we hear a good story, are we open for a fresh challenge about it? Are we open to what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear? You see, you can always gain something afresh from a really familiar story if you just ask the Holy Spirit to show you and reveal what it is that he wants for you now. So, The first story, and I've got it written down word for word, so I'm going to read it word for word so I don't get it wrong. Okay? Once upon a time. See, when a story starts like that, the chances are you think, oh, yep, I'm going to know this one. There were three bears who lived in a house in the forest. There was a great big father bear, a middle-sized mommy bear, and a tiny baby bear. One morning their breakfast porridge was too hot to eat, so they decided to go out for a walk in the forest. While they were out, though, a little girl called Goldilocks was walking through the forest and came across their house. She knocked the door, but there was no answer. So she pushed it open and she went in. In front of her, she saw a table with three chairs. One large chair, one medium-sized chair, and one tiny little chair. But more enticing, there were three bowls of porridge. One large bowl, one medium-sized bowl, and one small bowl. And there were three spoons. Now, Goldilocks was hungry, and the porridge smelt really good. So she sat in the big chair, picked up the large spoon, and tried some of the porridge from the big bowl. But the chair was very big and very hard, and the spoon was heavy. But worse than that, the porridge was, wow, so hot. So she left that one. Now Goldilocks jumped off that chair quickly and went onto the middle-sized chair. But this chair was far too soft. But when she tried the porridge bowl that was in front of it, from the middle-sized bowl, it was really quite cold, so she didn't like that one. So she got over to the small chair and picked up the smallest spoon and tried some of the porridge from the tiny bowl. And it was neither too hot nor too cold. Someone's been writing a good story for Goldilocks here. It was just right and so delicious that she ate it all up. But she was too heavy for the little chair, and it broke into pieces under her weight. But Goldilocks was by now feeling quite tired. It had been a long walk. So she went upstairs, where she found three beds. And what do you know it? They were different sizes. First she tried the large bed. She climbed into it and lay down. But it was very hard and pretty uncomfortable and far too big. So she then tried the middle-sized bed. But that was far too soft. So she climbed into the tiny little bed and it was just right. Have you ever heard that before? Did you know that was coming? That it was just right? It was neither too hard nor too soft. In fact, it was just cozy and warm. And in no time at all, Goldilocks fell asleep. But a little while later, the three bears came back from their walk in the forest. They saw at once that someone had pushed the door open. So Father Bear went in and roared and said, "Who's in the house? Who's been in the house?" But Mother Bear said in her graceful, gentle voice, "Someone's been sitting in my chair." And Little Bear said in a small, squeaky baby voice, "Someone's been sitting in my chair and has broken it into all pieces." But then Father Bear looked at his bowl of porridge and saw the spoon in it and said in his great growly voice, "Somebody has been eating my porridge." The Mother Bear saw that her bowl had a spoon in it and said in her quiet voice, "Somebody has been eating my porridge as well." And the tiny little bear said in a squeaky voice, "Someone's been eating my porridge and they've ate it all up." So the three bears then went upstairs. Father Bear saw at once that his bed was untidy and he said in his great big growly voice, "Somebody has been sleeping in my bed." Mother Bear saw that too. And she looked at her bed and the bedclothes had been turned back. And she said, "Someone's been sleeping in my bed." And the little bear looked at his bed and said in his small squeaky little voice, "Somebody is sleeping in my bed. But he squeaked so loudly, and that's a little bit beyond my vocal cords, that Goldilocks woke up with a start. She jumped out of bed, and away she ran down the stairs and into the forest, and the three bears never saw her again. So that's a children's story. One that you've probably heard many times. But nowadays, I don't think much of Goldilocks at all. I think she is a nasty person. She breaks into someone's house without their permission. She eats all their food. She then destroys their possessions and then treats them as though they're her own. As though she deserves it. And that she had a right to. Now you might think that you can draw similarities with some aspects of human society and cultures with those less fortunate. And you'd be right from Goldilocks and the Three Bears story about how a culture or some aspects of society treat other living creatures of God's kingdom. And not just growly bears and squeaky little voice bears, but people as well. The Syrian conflict and the Syrian refugees. That's one of just the latest. 30-odd years ago, there was the Ethiopian drought and the famine there. People treating other people as though they deserve to treat them that way. However, back to our stories today. You see, when I was a boy, I was loved by my parents. I was cared for. I was educated by those who were entrusted and put in a position to shape those younger than themselves. You see, I was taken to zoos and even to a circus once where I saw wild animals, including bears, trapped behind cages and made to perform silly little tricks. I thought they were great at the time, but silly little tricks just to get fed. You see, when I was little, my views about that sort of thing were shaped by society at the time. My education, where I was growing up, the people around me. How I behaved was mainly formed by others. And that was what I knew. I didn't think much was wrong with that. That was how it was. You see, I thought that way because that's the way I'd been brought up. That's the way that I was educated. That's what I had actually been exposed to. Now, I'd been led to believe that that was the right way. And the only way, because very, very few people were actually campaigning about wild animals being in captivity. And very much fewer, very, very few, were actually being listened to. Today, I'm very grateful for that upbringing I had and for the love and the guiding principles that have stood me in so good stead. But since then, I've also been shaped by my own adult experiences, by what I've found out, by what people have now been listening to. The mistakes I made from some of the things that I did wrong, I've learnt from. The successes I've experienced, I've learnt from. But what we can learn from and continue to learn from, and the 11 people last week, is what I've got the enlightenment from the Holy Spirit that I came to a realization about 15 years ago of what God's not just plan was for me, because I didn't know, but what his love for me and his grace and the breaking of chains can make in my life. You see, the more that I'm guided by his Holy Spirit and read his word, the better I can be for him in spirit and in truth and in word and in my faith in action to others. It's not just doing good works. You see, we work in the community. Street angels, youth angels, community angels. We go and see people who need help. But virtually everybody can do good works. So what's the difference with being a Christian? What's the difference for those 11 of you that were baptized last week? What was the difference and is the difference this week for all the rest of us who have been baptized before? What is being a baptized in Christ Christian different from doing good works? You see, people who don't know have been educated and learnt that the life that they have is all there is. That there isn't a life after this one that can be full of joy and full of happiness and excitement and vitality compared to just nothing and death and anguish. You see, baptized in Christ means that we already know the way, the truth, and the life. We know the joy that he gives us. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are challenges when you hear the Goldilocks story and you then have someone saying, I don't like Goldilocks. Well, what's all that about? There's challenges, though. There's challenges in our lives. Those people who have been baptized this week, a lot of them have had challenges this week. But it's about stepping forward all the time. It's about sharing your story with other people. It's about how you can be changed when you do that and change others. He enables us to do it. So why don't we do it more? You see, good works without faith in action is great. People benefit. But that's not what Christ calls us to do. It might not be politically correct sometimes to actually say, hang on, we are supposed to go and make disciples of all nations. Oh, I don't know if I can say that. But how do we do it? We show the love and we speak to people and we challenge them like the Holy Spirit challenges us. But we do it in the way that they will understand, that is applicable for them. Did Christ shirk when he had to go to the cross? I think briefly he did. In that Garden of Gethsemane moment. But he got on with it. Now, if you want to know more about that, then come and speak to me afterwards. Come and speak to Chris. Come and speak to Den. Come and speak to Claire. Come and speak to any Ron, Deborah. Come and speak to the people that you came with. But we need to put the Word and the Spirit together and put it into faith in action. And we need to come to his water and drink. The last time I spoke, I talked about the woman at the well, about acceptance and forgiveness after rejection. When you are baptized in Christ, that's about being accepted, even if you felt rejected. It's about, as I said earlier, about being a member of Christ's body, not just with the local church, wherever you're local from. It's about who we belong to. And baptized in Christ enables us. We just have to say, yes, please. The Apostle John tells us that Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow within him. Now, if you have a stream of living water flowing within you, that's got to be released somewhere. You've got to turn the tap on. Because if you don't, it stagnates. But if you turn the tap on to talk to other people, to allow yourself to be challenged, then you get filled with even more refreshing water. So no matter how tired you might be, no matter how you might think, oh, I don't want to get to church today. I don't want to get up today. I don't want to go and do this evangelism today. I'm going to put something else. You're going to stagnate. Come to his water and drink. So Goldilocks is not necessarily a nice person. Thinking that you deserve to ruin someone else's life and not to show them compassion. Thinking that, well, this is the way that I was born and brought up. And it doesn't matter what's happening out there in the community. Doesn't matter what's happening out there at my workplace. Doesn't matter what's happening out with my family. Doesn't matter what's happening even in the church that I worship at. That's the way that I feel. It's time to continue to get challenged and wake up. So two stories for the price of one. So my second story. Again, to remind you, you probably know about it. But what is the Holy Spirit challenging you when you hear it this time? Once an expert in the religious law stood to test Jesus by asking, "Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "Well, what does the law say about this? What does the law teach you?" You see, Jesus was being tested. But he knew that. And it's about how you respond to anyone. So Jesus tested him back. He wanted to find out what this expert in the law's own understanding was and what his approach to people were and how he had been taught and what he actually stood for and how he applied it in his life at that time. So the man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your hearts and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered your own question correctly," Jesus replied. And now comes the sort of rub bit that Christ said. "If you put these words into action, you will live. Not just this life, but eternal life." You see, Jesus' words of truth struck home and stirred this man's conscience. Knowing he failed to do this fully, he then asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus told a story. A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by bandits who stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him lying half dead at the roadside. When a priest came along and saw him, he crossed to the other side of the road. God put someone in the priest's way. And the priest, too busy, no time, guy was beaten up. Didn't know who else might be around. That's enough of, I got plenty of excuses. I can live with them all day. I'm just going to cross and walk by. A Levite came along. Again, a learned person. It's one who knows the prophet Isaiah. Knows what God's word is. And he reacted in the same way. But a Samaritan traveler came to where the man was lying. Seeing him there, he felt sorry for him, went to him and dressed his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. Good old antibiotics didn't exist. He then placed the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn to care for him. On the following day, he gave 2 silver coins to the innkeeper with the instructions to look after him. When I return, he said, I will cover any other expense you have incurred. Now, which of these 2 do you consider was the true neighbor to the man who was robbed? The expert in the religious law replied, the one who had compassion on him. So Jesus told him, well, go and follow his example. So what part of your conditioning that you walked in with today, and is God and the Holy Spirit stirring and shaking in you now? You see, the man was honest with Jesus. He knew he failed to put those commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. He knew that he failed to put them fully into action. But rather than admonish him, Christ told him a story. He told him a story to show the man what he had to do to incorporate God's word, his faith in the scriptures and in God, and for his inherited and learnt behavior to be challenged and guided, to realize fully by being challenged who his neighbors really were. And the extent that he had to step out and put it into action. Step out and put his faith into action. Step out and put his good education and manners and principles, but add to it God's word and spirit in truth. You see, times change. I used to love the Goldilocks story. I used to love all those stories told me at bedtime and everywhere else. Times change. There's an enlightenment that happened 2,000 years ago. It's not just an enlightenment that says in the recent few decades that it's not great to put animals into captivity. There's people out there that are in captivity, that are in their own personal jails as a result of either something they've done or something that they've learnt from. As Christians, it's up to us to take God's love out and break those bars down. You see, Jesus tells us when we listen what's wrong for him, and therefore for us, and therefore for others. He laid down his life so that each person here can live today, tomorrow, and way beyond. So let's not keep it for ourselves. And yes, we talk to people. Everyone in here, I am positive, talks to people about Christ. But how are you being challenged today as to go and put it into action. Go and live and do what I ask you to do. To the full extent of the covenant in Christ that we have. To the full extent of the baptism in Christ that we have. Today we've had a children's story. My comment on it was to challenge us. Socially, politically, ethically, morally. To challenge our inherited conditioning and thinking and behavior. But not just a growly big bear and the rest of the family. Not just to the creatures in God's kingdom. But to the people who are around us. All that we interact with. All that Christ puts in our way each day. Yes, there are people in Scarborough who are destitute, who are needy, who are in poverty, who are sick. Spiritually, physically. It's up to everybody to be an evangelist in some shape or form. It's up to everyone to be a pastor in some shape or form. It's up to everyone to be a teacher in some shape or form. It doesn't matter what your gifting is. The Holy Spirit enables us. So look, anyone who is here who doesn't yet know Christ, anyone who is here who isn't yet doing those two greatest commandments to the extent that Christ calls us to do. Anyone here who wants to be enabled to change like Christ told a story to change a legal teacher and a legal expert to change. Anyone here who wants to change, stand. And if you can't stand, then raise an arm. If you physically can't stand, then raise an arm. Anyone here who thinks that they are not loving their Lord God with all their heart, all their mind, all their heart, all their soul, and anyone who isn't loving every neighbor, whoever your neighbor is, stand. Everyone who isn't loving themselves to the extent that God's love wants in you, wants you to have his enormous love and to pour it in you, then stand or raise an arm. Anyone here who wants more, who wants to be enabled more by the Holy Spirit, it's not about that you're not doing it, it's about you need to do it. I need to do it. We want to do it. Christ wants us to do it. And to be enabled by the Holy Spirit to do it. So the challenge is let the Holy Spirit do it in us. Just open that up. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, pray this prayer with me. Repeat it after me if you wish. Decree it and declare it in your lives. And then go out there to the servant's entrance and put it into practice. Fall on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. I repent that I have not followed fully your two greatest commandments. And I ask, Heavenly Father, for your forgiveness. And I pray that for me and all here, and for all those that listen, that the breath of God, your Holy Spirit, will not only fill me with life in all the fullness that you, my Heavenly Father, so desired me to have in this life, and for life eternal as well. Lord God, help me to walk fully in the complete freedom that you offer through the sacrifice of your Son. And I choose to seek your Holy Spirit to enable me to put into action fully to love you, Lord my God, with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength and with all my mind. And to love my neighbor as you want me to love myself. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We have a challenge ahead of us, people. But I think, looking around, that we're up for it. Decree and declare that you are enabled by the Holy Spirit to do God's work, to live your life, not to be served, but to give your life like Christ did as a servant. So go out there and enjoy yourselves today, tomorrow, and this week, enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.